Pastor Varun and Pastor Dalla Hopperson would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Father, in Jesus' mighty name, we come to you with a humble and seeking heart. We pray, Father, that you will speak to all of us. Lord, we believe, Lord, that your word is powerful and it can renew our mind. We want to partake your word, receive your word with a repentant heart, with, Lord, a seeking spirit. We want to know what you want to say. We want to become more and more like Christ, your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. In the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verse 14, the Bible says, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." So, one of the lifestyle that we should developed as a Christian since the first day we came to know Jesus Christ is to serve the Lord. Serving God is a package of being a Christian. Joshua encouraged the children of Israel in this chapter, Joshua chapter 24, that fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. You remember that when the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt, they were working so hard to serve Pharaoh. They were making bricks from straw and build, you know, the pyramid and all the building. They did not even get pay from the Pharaoh. They were working under oppression and under persecution. But God, by His mercy, He sent Moses to be the deliverer, to set them free out of the slavery in Egypt. They came out from the bondage of slavery. And then after Moses passed away, Joshua became a new leader. And he proclaimed that, "Hey guy, let us fear God. He set us free. Let us serve him, serve the King of all kings. We don't need to serve Pharaoh anymore. We now will serve the good King, the good Lord." So that is symbolic of our life too, which we used to be a slave to sin, to bondage, to Satan, to the things of the world. But God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to set us free. And now we have a new Lord. His name is Jesus. Instead of serving the world or serving Satan, now we should serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But the condition is different. I give you a story of a slave girl who was being sold in an auction. And two men were bidding for her. And the price was going up and up to get her to become their slave. And both are evil men. While the price going up, suddenly the third person came on and bid higher than the other two guys. So the third guy win and got her to his house. But once she arrived his house, he breaks the chain off and say, "You can go free. I just want you to be free." After that, this girl served this master without being in chain, with devotion and love and appreciation all the days of her life. So you can see the difference between the first two guys who want to buy her to be slave in chain, but the third guy bought her with a high price, even higher than the other two guys wanted to pay for her, wanting to pay for her life. But he set her free, took the chain off, and let her do whatever she wants in freedom. This is a picture of how Jesus Christ saved us. He saved us. He paid a high price. He died on the cross. He suffered many things. He shed his blood, took the chain off from our life, and he said, "You're free. You have freedom of choice now. You can serve me or you can do whatever you want." But out of love and appreciation, we decide to serve this new master, and his name is Jesus. Amen. And that's what happened to me and Da many years ago when we were born again. We decided right away, I remember we began serving God in the first few days of our Christian walk. We began to help our Bible study group to prepare the chair, to set up the chair, to prepare the communion tray. We tried to do everything to serve the Lord as much as we know how at that time. We did not know how to teach. We did not know how to pastor yet. But we do everything to serve the Lord the way we know how. In the book of Judges, chapter 2, verse 19, "But when the judge died," Judges 2:19, "but when the judge died, the people returned two ways even more corrupt than those of their fathers, following other gods and serving and worshipping them. They refused to give their evil give up their evil practices and stubborn ways." You can see the connection between the word worship and the word serving here in both scripture in Joshua 24:14 and Judges chapter 2 verse 19. There's a strong connection between the word worship and serving. So whatever we worship, we serve it. Is that right? If we worship money, we serve money. If we worship our job, we serve our job. If we worship our kids, we serve our kids. But if we worship God, the Almighty, true living God, we serve Him. There is a strong connection between whatever we honor, we adore, we worship, we will put energy and time and everything in our life to serve that thing. And God calls us that. Please come and worship me and serve me. Have a lifestyle of worship. So I want to encourage all of you who have given your life to Jesus Christ to serve the Lord fully. You don't need to be a pastor to serve God. You don't need to be an elder of the church or to be evangelist or full-time minister. But every Christian should serve the Lord. I know that sometimes we think that serving God is a duty of the clergy, minister in the church. You know, clergy means full-time workers, those who are called into pastoral work and a full-time job in the church. And sometimes Christians just go to church to pay their tithe and offering and say, "It's not my job to serve God." But if you look in the Bible carefully, God expects and calls every Christian into the service in the local church. So we should not think that way, that serving God is only the job of the pastors or the full-time workers. That is a wrong idea. God called every believer to participate in the function of the church. It's like a body. You know, every part of our body need to function so that the body will be healthy. It is very important that we obey the Bible and follow the biblical truth, the biblical pattern. And the biblical pattern say that every believer should use their talents and gifts and time to serve the Lord to fulfill His purpose. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. 1 Peter 2, 21. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. Wow. If you ask me, who is my role model? Who is my hero? I would say that Jesus Christ is my hero, my role model. I want to follow His example, His footsteps. Christ suffered for you. You remember that when Jesus was on earth, He came into the world to serve people. You remember? He washed the feet of His disciples. He went around from city to cities to heal the sick, cast out demons, helping the poor, preaching the gospel, try to help the captives, set the captive free, heal the blind, raise the dead. All 3.5 years of His life of ministry, He was serving and serving and serving. He suffered. He even died on the cross for us. I want to follow His footsteps. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Matthew 20, 28. To give His life as a ransom for many. If we want to follow Jesus' footsteps, we need to give our life to serve others. Amen? To serve other people. Serving is an attribute of God, is an example of Jesus Christ. He set this example to all of us, and we want to follow Him. You know, everywhere we go, every the church that we attend or become a member of, we should participate in the ministry, helping, serving people the most we can, like what Jesus did. We need to understand that we are not just a invaluable servant of God or slave of God. We are very precious. We are very expensive people. You know what? Because God paid a high price. He gave up His own Son. The Son of God died. If there's no one else in the world except you, He would die for you still. He would die for you. And He paid His big price, the King of all kings, gave up His life to purchase you, to buy you out of the kingdom of darkness. And therefore, we are set free to serve the Lord. And we are called the priests of God. Do you know that in the Old Testament, only a certain group of people become priests? But in the New Testament, we are all priests of God. We have the right to go into the presence of God. The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit only lives in the king, the prophet, and the priest. That's it. The regular citizens did not have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was residing in the Holy of Holies, in the inner room, and He anointed only the king, the priest, and the prophet. But now we all have the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible calls all of us priests. If you look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, to Him who loved us has freed us from our sins by His blood. Wow, God loves us, and He freed us from our sins by His blood. What an awesome scripture. And has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve His God and Father. To Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. So God freed us from sin by the blood of Jesus Christ, so that we will be ruling like king on earth. And at the same time, you know, we have two titles. King, we have authority to rule. And at the same time, we are priests serving our God the Father. Amen. So you should call yourself, I am a priest of God. Even though we don't wear the robe like the priest in the Old Testament. So once you're born again, God gives you the Holy Spirit. God calls you my priest. And then we begin to serve Him from the first day of a Christian walk. Amen. Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. Exodus chapter 19, verse 6. You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. In the Old Testament, Moses was told by God to tell the children of Israel to serve Him as a holy nation and to become a kingdom of priests to serve Him in the tabernacle or in the temple. How about today? The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, for the New Testament Christians or believers, 1 Peter 2, 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the Old Testament, He called His covenant people, the Israelites, to be His priests, to serve Him. Now we are the covenant people too, by the blood of Jesus Christ. He called us out from darkness into His wonderful light. I'm so glad that God has set all of us free from sin and from demonic power. I don't know about you, but I really feel so free. I used to be worried all the time, have problem in my family relationship, sick all the time, not happy, very unhappy man. But in the past many years, after Jesus set me free from sin and bondage and from demonic power, I'm a free man. I'm happy every day. My family is happy. Da and I have a very good relationship. My kids are growing in the Lord. They are changing. I cannot thank God enough. You know, every single day, I thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ and His presence. He came into my house, into my personal house, into my boat, and into my family. And that's why I feel that I am in a wonderful light, kingdom of light of God. And I'm so willing to serve Him. I'm willing to be the priest to serve Him, not because of money, not because of position, or not because it's a duty to do, but because I appreciate and feel so grateful for what He has done for me. So I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Think about the cross. Think about what Jesus has done for you, has done for your family. And just say, God, I give my life to serve You. Just tell me what gift I have, what talent I have. I will do everything faithfully to serve you and to serve your people. I will do anything. If you say anything, I will do it. I will obey you. Because you say, Lord, that obedience is better than sacrifice, than just giving money to God or giving something to God. But he is looking for obedient people that will say yes. Like what I shared on last Sunday, you remember I went to Bangkok, and while I was in the presence of God, God really spoke to me, son, it's not about your success, how many people or how big a church is. What I'm looking from you is your obedience. And if you obey me, it may not look successful in the eyes of man. It doesn't matter. Because that's what I'm looking for. Obedient, an obedient man and woman of God. And when you go home to Seattle, you just rejoice because you obey me to come to Bangkok this time. Actually, my joy is not about to see people get set free from demon and people get touched. Today, I got an email from Thailand again about a lady. I think you read it. I sent email to you about a lady who touched by God and have worship, you know, going to worship in heaven. You know, when I read those kind of email, it's really blessed my heart to see how God really helped people. But again, my joy is not just about God touch people, but my joy is I have done my best to obey my master. That's my joy, that I obey him. And I want to obey him no matter what happened in my life, even though I may not look successful in the eyes of man at all, as a pastor or as a preacher, because I'm not seeking the presence and the acceptance of man. I'm seeking the acceptance of God and the smiling of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Obey what God tells you to do. Serve him. Have you ever read the Bible and find out that our God is a jealous God? You know what the word jealousy mean? Jealousy, in the sense of human sense, mean you don't want the person that you love to like somebody else. That person need to like only you and adore you. God is a jealous God, but his jealousy is not human jealousy. It's holy jealousy. He wants us to love him only. But because we love him, we then love other people. But the primary thing we need to do is to love our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. He wants us to just fall in love with him. Amen. Yesterday, we listened to a song in the church called Addicted to God. Oh, I love that song. It's true. You know, we need to be addicted to God's presence, addicted to be in, to have relationship with him. We just love him, fall in love with him. But the good things about falling in love with God, the jealous God, his name is Jehovah, is that when we love God and we serve him, our service to him and our devotion to him, in fact, benefit us. It doesn't destroy us like you love something else. The love for God and the devotion to God really benefits our physical, mental, emotional, and financial life. That is a blessing that will follow. So actually, we never destroy ourselves by loving God more than anything else. People who are wise and smart will make a decision to love God with all their heart. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Maybe you can read for me. Romans chapter 6, verse 16.
Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey. Mm. Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. righteousness.
Amen. Wow. I think this is a very powerful scripture talking about slave, talking about being a servant and serving somebody. We have only two choices. We either become a slave to the world or to our own flesh, our own sinful desire, or we become a born servant or slave to God. Whatever we are slave to, we will serve that thing. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. So, the world teaches us that if we can do whatever we want, you know, if you desire to have a big house, that's what you want. If I can do whatever I want, I am free. And I can have fun and be happy because I can do whatever I want. Freedom. That's the world try to educate us. But in fact, it's not true. Because whatever you want, if you want a big house, if you want millions of dollars, your flesh, your sinful nature, your carnal mind wants that. In fact, you end up being slave to that. You are not free. Think about it. You are not really free. You become slave to the $1 million that you want to get. You become a slave to your house. You need to work so hard to pay mortgage, to pay the mortgage, to buy stuff into your house, to buy furniture. And eventually you become slave to those things. And those things come out from your sinful desire, your sin. And what happened? You serve it. You serve the thing that you want. And you are not really free. You end up not having any happiness anyway. So God tried to tell us in this scripture that don't get trapped into that Titanic, a sinking boat. Come to me. Let me come into your boat. Because if I come into your boat, like in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus got into the boat of Peter, he got a lot of fish anyway until the net almost broke. But he let Jesus become the master in his boat. So if you are a businessman, your business should not be your master. You should not serve your business. But you let Jesus become your master, you serve him, and the business will serve you, and the fish gonna come in anyway, the money gonna come in. You understand? You see what I'm trying to say? Yesterday I have a chance to talk to one of our members who is a neurosurgeon too. And I told him that it's amazing all these years, almost 15 years now, that I practice on the east side of Seattle, serving God as a pastor. God really, really gave me enough business. Actually, today, by the grace of God, I operated on 5 patients. Tomorrow, 2 of my friends have only 1 patient. Another doctor doesn't have even 1. And God really, really took care of me financially because Jesus is in my boat. I take care of his business in the church. He takes care of my business. I don't have to worry about income that much. I see that. I know that God is taking care of me because my master is not my practice. My master is not money. My master is Jesus. I'm serving him. Amen. So we need to offer our life to be a slave to Jesus, to serve him. Because out of that obedience, it will lead to righteousness and life and honor and prosperity. But if you try to please your flesh, your sinful desire, it will lead you to death. You will become sick. you worry all the time about money. You get headache, get high blood pressure, high cholesterol, cannot sleep. You know, there's no happiness, in fact, if you become slave to the world. Let's look at Luke chapter 4, verses 5 to 6. Luke chapter 4, verses 5 to 6. I read from the Amplified Bible. Then the devil took him up, took Jesus up to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the habitable world in a moment of time, in the twinkling of an eye. And he said to him, to Jesus, to you I will give all this power and authority and their glory, all their magnificence, excellence, preeminence, dignity, and grace. For it has been turned over to me, and I give it to whomever I will. Satan said that the world system, belongs to him. And this happened since Adam and Eve gave that authority to the devil in Genesis chapter 3. You remember that God created Adam and Eve to have dominion, to become the God of this world. Their God is God, but because they have dominion over the world, they are the God of this world. But on that day, when they ate the fruit of the tree, they obeyed the devil, so they transferred their authority and dominion over the world to Satan. So now Satan is controlling the world. And Satan was talking to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that if you obey me, I will give anything in this world to you. You can be a president, you can be a king, you can be a prime minister, you can get whatever you want, I can give to you. Yes, I agree that the devil can give money to people. The devil can give position to people because he still has power. But Jesus said, no, I came here on earth to serve and to obey the Father. So we have to be careful here. What the Bible tried to teach us here is that we cannot serve God and money at the same time. We cannot serve Satan and God at the same time. Satan gonna try to put a bait to entice us to serve him. And one of the biggest bait that he used in this life is money. Big problem. You know, I noticed as a pastor for several years, I noticed one fact in the local church, in my observation, that if any member loves money, it will be very difficult for that person to serve the Lord. I'm serious. I have seen this for 24 years already as being a pastor. You know, it is so clear that you cannot serve both God and money. So I want to encourage you, don't be like Judas Iscariot, who carried the money back, and he loved money more than Jesus. Don't be like Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, who want to get, you know, recognition and want to steal some money and act like they are serving God. You cannot do that. God is not going to accept that. You remember the story in Acts chapter 5? Ananias and Sapphira sold their land. They imitated Barnabas. But when they came to the apostle's feet, they did not give all the money. But they say, yeah, these are all the money I gave to the church. So they dropped dead at that moment because they lied to the Holy Spirit. So God did not want us to do that. God wanted us to serve only him, not the money. Matthew chapter 6 verse 24 say, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus told us in the Bible that we should store up treasures in heaven. Amen. God knows what is best for our life. God knows that if we try to serve the things of the world, we try to serve money, we will be destroyed. But if we serve Him, we are benefited. We are blessed. I want to encourage you. Our God, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Sitkanu, the Almighty God, the Elohim, His name is Jesus. He is a good God. Actually, I think 2 days ago, I was driving on the freeway and God spoke to me. God spoke to me. I was driving on the freeway. I was going to a baby shower of ED. And God spoke to me very clear in my spirit. He said, whoever I call to serve me, I will pay. I will pay that salary. I was so shocked when God spoke to me like that. He said, if I call anybody to serve me and they obey me, don't worry, I will pay them. Our God is a good God. He will not use you for free. He will pay you back. He will feed you. He will provide you. He will take care of you. I'm serious. You know, you don't have to worry. God will take care of His servant. He will not let you go hungry. Amen. So, instead of worrying about money, just serve God and God will take care. Amen. So God wants us to have a healthy relationship with Him. God wants us to grow mature, to become like Him. God wants us to become like Christ. You know, one of the characteristics of becoming like Christ is serving the Father. Do you know that? It's not just having a beard here, have a long hair, and wearing the Jewish cloth. No, it doesn't mean that way, but it means that we become like Christ in our lifestyle, in our speech, in our attitude, in our motive and character. Look at what the Bible says about Christ here. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. So, because Jesus died for us, He was born, we received the rights to become God's sons and daughters. Okay, I continue to read. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. So you can see here that Jesus came into the world to set us free and give us the right to become God's children. Then He put the Spirit into our life. The same Spirit that was in Jesus is in us right now. The Holy Spirit who were living on inside the body of Jesus 2,000 years ago is living on the inside of us. Amen. That's why we call Abba Father, Daddy, Papa. You see? So we become God's Son and we begin to serve Him, like the Lord Jesus Christ was serving the Father. Look at Romans chapter 8, verses 14 to 17. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. The Bible talks about becoming like Christ by the Spirit of God, by sharing His suffering. Jesus was willing to suffer. Serving God is not always easy. I have to be very honest to you. serving God is not always like sitting in the beach of Waikiki, having good time swimming in the sun. You will suffer, believe me. Serving God requires a lot of giving, a lot of sacrifice and devotion. But the Bible says that we share in Jesus' suffering in serving the Father. You will face persecution from people. You face losing a friend. People will ridicule you, gossip about you, talk bad about you. You may have to lose sleep. You know what I mean? You may have to give up your sleeping time on Sunday early morning. You, instead of oversleep, you have to wake up in the morning. Sometimes you have to go visit somebody even though you are tired because they're in trouble right now in the hospital. Or you may have to even die to your flesh. You want to revenge so badly. You want to get back. You want to kick back to somebody. But you have to pull back and say, I'm going to die to my flesh. You know, that one is part of the suffering, is to die to your flesh. Instead of saying whatever you want, doing whatever you want, you have to say no to your flesh. I think that's the most suffering that you have to face, more than even losing sleep. You agree with me? Sometimes you say, I want to just yell at this person. I want to call him back and tell him how bad he is, but you have to hold back and say, no, if I do that, I cannot be a servant of God. So I have to just crucify my flesh right now. It's so painful. So you suffer for God. You suffer for Jesus. Sometimes you have to give up your promotion at work. You have to give up your prestige of being a CEO of a company in order to serve God. You may have to give up a good job to be a pastor. Whatever, you need to suffer. But the Bible really promised that we may also share in His glory. Thank God that He gave us the glory. I come to the point of my life right now that I will not exchange the glory of God for anything else. I mean the presence of God, the strong presence of God in our life. And not only that, when I go to heaven with you, we all will have the glory of God. We will become like a sun, the stars. Some of us will shine the glory like the moon. We all have different glory in heaven. But we're going to have glory in heaven together because we serve the Lord. And that is something that no one can take away. It's worth the suffering we go through right now. So I want to encourage you to really walk a life of Jesus, willing to suffer, willing to forgive people, willing to say no to your flesh, willing to give up many things in your life for the sake of the kingdom and the sake of the name of Jesus Christ. Lately, I have been going to mission trip quite often, every 3 months. I tell you, it's really suffering to go through jet lag, lack of sleep, sitting in the airplane for a long time. Actually, when I sat on the airplane, I didn't have much time to enjoy any movie. I have to read the sermon a lot, prepare myself, pray. And when I went there, boom, 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 no time to rest, just day and night. I came back, then again, boom, 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 boom. So, but I never feel that I lost anything. I just feel so good that I can serve Him and I can suffer for Jesus Christ with Him, and I share His glory with His glory. So I want to encourage you. In this first part of the lesson about serving God, we will continue next time in the second session, that let's make a decision to serve God. Go to your friend in the church, go to the pastor in the church and say, what I can do for Jesus in this church? Can I get involved in any ministry? If you're good in cooking, maybe help your care group to cook. If you're good in administration, help the leaders in administrative work. I'm not very good in administration by nature, and I really appreciate a lot of people help me in the area of administration. Some people are good in decoration. Some people are good in typing, in singing, in playing musical instrument, whatever. Or some people are very good in high tech, like computer things. You know, you can use your gift and talent to serve. And you can be a businessman for God. God can bless you financially, making a lot of money. And just give generously for the mission to support the work of God and to, you know, do your best to build the kingdom. Serve God in everything you can do. Amen. So I just want to really use this lesson to exhort you and encourage you that serving God is His will and He will pay you back. You may suffer, but you will grow and you will become more and more like Christ. Remember this, you become the God that you worship and serve. And now we serve the Almighty God, the holy, righteous, and loving God. You will become more and more like Him as you worship Him and serve Him all the days of your life. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for all these brothers and sisters who tune in to listen to this CD, to this teaching. Father, give them the hunger in their heart for the Word of God. Give them the thirst in their spirit for the Holy Spirit to be filled with the anointing and the fire of God. Give them the devotion, the devoted heart, the singleness of heart to serve you, to love you, to live their life for your kingdom and for your name's sake, Father. Oh Lord, may your Holy Spirit work in their heart, in their spirit, all the day of their life, Lord. May you be big in them, increase in them, and their own desire, their own flesh, their carnal mind will decrease and decrease and decrease. You become big and great in them, Father. Bless everyone who listened to this teaching CD. Oh Lord, put your mighty hand upon them. Bless the Christian businessmen and women. Bless every servant in your church, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you. See you in the next CD. Amen.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much,